podcast fra E24.
God sommer, kjære lytter. Nå det ferie, skuldrene senket. Dette et høydepunkt fra sesongen. Så lena tilbake, nytt sommeren, og kanskje hører du noe du ikke fikk med deg første gangen. Midtøstenkrigen truer Europas industri. Samtidig må tomrommet etter russisk gass fylles. Hvordan kan den pågående energikrisen løses? Polen kan ha noen svar, og ett av dem kjernekraft. Velkommen til E24-podden, denne gang igjen fra Warszawa I Polen. I denne episoden skal vi dykke ned I hvordan den raskt voksende østeuropeiske økonomien har kvittet seg med avhengigheten av russisk energi. Samtalen med energiekspert og podcaststjerne Wojciech Jakobik foregår naturlig nok på engelsk. Jeg heter Sindre Heyerdahl, produsent I Oslo Erik Holm Nyvold. Mr. Wojciech Jakobik, welcome to E24 Podden.
My pleasure.
Tell me about yourself first.
I'm an energy analyst from Poland, so I'm covering energy security issues for over 15 years. I'm an analyst, but also journalist covering such issues in a way that is understandable, that is digestible to ordinary public.
And we just met some people even in the Foreign Office of Poland. They listen to your podcast daily because you are also a podcast host.
Of course, I got a podcast called Energy Drink. It is devoted to energy security issues, which are heavily commented in Poland, which are really important for our economy because of the geopolitical dimension, but also when it comes to the future of our country, which is heavily reliant on stable supply of energy and resources.
And everywhere I've been here in Warsaw, people seem very preoccupied with the energy situation. Why is that?
Firstly, we have had an energy crunch in 2022. So first, Russian Gazprom limited gas supply to Europe, and then Russians attacked Ukraine. That showed that energy security is a mainstream topic. It is important for everyone, and that Poles have had good diagnosis of situation, because when it started in 2021-22, we were perfectly ready to react because we were having Norwegian gas supply, we were having different suppliers of LNG, we were having our internal production, and because of that we were quite prepared in times when, for example, Germans were having this threat of gas security of supply issues. We didn't have any issue. We had the obligatory system of gas storage. We were having LNG terminal. We were having Baltic pipeline to Norway, and we made it. And we showed that this security-oriented energy policy has a place and it is working in times of crisis.
And you are quite fast now ramping up independency when it comes to energy, amongst other things by having LNG terminals and so on.
We got ample supply and ample infrastructure allowing us not only to import hydrocarbons outside of Russia, but also to re-export it throughout Central and Eastern Europe. We were delivering LNG to Ukraine. We are talking about non-Russian supply with Hungarians even. So it is a totally different situation than it was like 20 years ago when Poland was totally dependent on Russian hydrocarbons.
Yes, and this is quite a travel when you see the figures, how dependent you were on Russian oil and gas just 20 years ago, and now you've gotten rid of it.
Exactly. In like 20 years ago, we've been 100% dependent on imports from one direction, from Russia, and it was making us dependent on Russian foreign policy, which was mainly aimed against us, and this dependency was bringing risks, was allowing Russians to use this dependency as a political tool. Everyone in Europe could see that in 2022, but it is a long story when it comes to Poland. So we have this sad experience of situations like this, and now we import zero natural gas from Russia, zero oil from Russia. We import from different sources and we re-export it to different places in Central and Eastern Europe by creating so-called gas hub, but also cooperating with our allies, with different companies also from Norway on energy transition, on nuclear energy. So we are in totally different situation right now.
But coal is still also a big part of the total energy mix, isn't it?
Coal is our history. So when I started to work in energy sector almost 20 years ago, it was almost 90% of electricity generation that was coming from coal power plants. Now it is 50-60%, but it is still needed because, as we all know, energy transition is having its challenges. We need to have non-intermittent supply. For now, it is 60% during the year coming from coal. We have some small investment in natural gas generation to reach the point in which we are having nuclear power plants, which we are willing to have for the beginning too. Nuclear power plants, one in Pomerania region, one in central Poland, to get like 20% of our generation. But this generation would be less emittent, it would be non-intermittent, it will create a stable basis to further develop renewable energy.
Sounds like you could teach something to the Germans there as well, who famously got rid of nuclear not long before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine, or actually the three last ones were actually closed even after the full-scale invasion, making Germany even more energy hungry.
We warned them, we are speaking to them that it is not too wise to quit generation that is necessary, that is less emittant, that is aligned with our common energy and climate policy in times when Germany was so dependent on Russian natural gas. They were answering with these Excel numbers that are showing that the supplies from Russia could be cheap. But in the end, in 2022, they did get the final receipt, which was really expensive because of the dependence on Russian natural gas supply. They did get a recession in their economy in 2022.
Sounds like the Polish Excel is better than the German ones here.
Well, Excel is not taking into account the security matters. And if you only look at the market consideration, you cannot sustain a redundancy, which is a technical term for extra capacity that you need in times of crisis, in times of failures, of multiple possible scenarios that could happen. And in present times, they happen all the time. If it's not Ukraine, it is some other issue, Iran lately. So you also need to take security, hard security into account in countries inside EU, inside NATO, especially having some strange neighbors like the main supplier of natural gas in last decade when it comes to EU.
How important is the energy cooperation with Norway then these days?
So it is one of the pillars of our security and fruitful economic cooperation, because we have the Baltic Pipe Gas Pipeline project, which is connecting Poland to hydrocarbon resources in Norway. It is not only about Norwegian production, but we also have companies which are having their concessions on the Norwegian shelf. So it is decreasing the price of natural gas coming to Poland. So it is one of the projects, but we also cooperate in offshore wind farms. We also cooperate in advanced energy technologies. So there is plenty of room to develop our cooperation. And it is also about the security, because Norway and Poland, as countries of Eastern NATO flank, need to take into account this security. They need to look for their maritime routes of supply, which could be challenged by our adversaries. So there is plenty of room of cooperation in energy sector, in whole economy, but also in security fields.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. How worried are you, though, by Russian aggression? And I'm not talking about full-scale invasion of Poland, obviously, but it could be sabotage. We have seen the Russian drones over Polish territory recently. Could they destroy some of the energy facilities, or at least challenge them?
We are prepared for such scenarios, and we are used to what is happening when it comes to having such an unpredictable neighbor like Russian Federation. So it is nothing new, but of course the scale of what is happening is bigger than it was in the past. The main incident was when Russian drones entered our airspace on September 2025. It made us go for consultations on the basis of Article 5 of NATO treaty. So the situation is tense and it is serious, but we were prepared. It is not something new for our security circles, because our diagnosis was always like that, that Russia is not going anywhere. It is a constant threat, and it did not quit its imperial ambitions. So we need to adjust to this situation. And I believe it is a common understanding between Poles and Norwegian when it comes to this matter.
Yes.
Let's say that the war in Ukraine ends at some point. At some point, obviously, it has to. Do you think there will be voices in Poland that then will agitate for reopening imports of Russian oil and gas?
They always come back, and sometimes that they are not only Russian trolls, but some people even believe in such scenario. But from the economic perspective, all we've invested in quitting Russian supply to Poland, but also to whole European Union, could be lost if we go back from this route. We invested so heavily in LNG terminal, in oil terminal. We are the intermediates in non-Russian supply to so many different customers that it is in line with our economic policy to stay on this route and to create a fruitful cooperation, not looking at Russia at all.
And the Polish economy has grown steadily and fast the last years, and it's the envy of most of Europe right now. Has solving the energy crisis, all you've done to mitigate energy in the last decade and so forth, has that been an important contributor to the economic growth story?
So our security of supply was stable in spite of energy crisis in and war in Ukraine. In times of war in Iran, it is also stable. Of course, we are exposed to external shocks like every market is, but we have this security of supply. We have a long-term policy of storage, which is stabilizing the market. So our economy is having this basis for further development, but we need new investment. We need to recreate a stable baseload capacity in electricity sector. That is why we invest in nuclear energy. We need to stabilize renewables, because we have a growing capacity of renewables, but they are intermittent. They depend on weather. So Poland is in the front of this discussion about rearranging our common climate and energy policy inside the EU. We are discussing it with French, with Italians. We have a common ground when it comes to reform of climate policy. So there is this big push for Poland as a role model for this recreation of our common policy for the sake of everyone in the old world.
And finally, when Poland now is ramping up and having quite big ambitions when it comes to exactly nuclear, do you think that also could change the power of a balance within the Europe? You also have proponents of nuclear in France, but with Poland as a big new player, could that help shift the whole situation and make investments in nuclear more common all over Europe, do you think?
So Europe needs a cohesion in common policy when it comes to energy. Also, we need a greater cohesion. In times like this, Polish role is to stabilize this discussion, and we are winning the voting process, not only with blocking minority, but also by creating an alliance for nuclear energy against revolution in energy, rather some greater evolutionary approach. approach. We are the subjects, not the objects, of our common policy, and that's one of the reasons of this situation is our economic success story, which is appealing to people inside Europe. And the other lung, the second lung of Europe, is growing. It is breathing with ease, and it is introducing everyone to the table.
Excellent. Thank you so much for taking time for us in In24 Podden, and good luck further on with your own podcast as well.
My pleasure, anytime. All the best to Norway.